Hello again, and what is up, Braves country? This is the Braves Craze Podcast. It's Sunday, August 14th, 2022. School is either starting or starting back again. Things are getting busy, and it's getting down to the wire for the playoffs and crunch time for baseball. This is, again, the Braves Craze Podcast. I want to thank everyone for your support. If you will, continue to support me by giving me a subscription, a like, positive feedback on your favorite podcasting platform, if you will. And then hit me up on Twitter at Dr. Braves. If you have any questions, comments, want to have topics mentioned on the show, or just some general feedback, hit me up on Twitter at Dr. Braves. So let's start out by talking about the Braves week. It was a great week. The Braves went 6-0, even though they had two off days. 6-0 with two of those wins being a doubleheader. Day-night at New York, but all six games on the road, the Braves won all six. Two at Boston, a day off then, and then four at Miami with a thrilling comeback today behind a Michael Harris home run to tie it and heroics in the top of the ninth by the Braves to win the game again. So a great week for the Braves. You go on the road, even though the schedule was not the hardest. Boston being an average-type team at this point in time, Miami a little below average. Atlanta did go out there and get six big wins on the road this week. Unfortunately, the Mets won a good bit this week, too, so the Braves remain 5.5 games behind New York here in mid-August. But as we know, there's a pretty big week coming up for the Braves with the Mets starting tomorrow night in Atlanta with four huge games for New York and Atlanta coming up in Atlanta, as I said. So the Braves come home for a homestand, start off with those four big games versus the Mets. I want to mention the wild card standings as well. The Braves have a six-game cushion on the wild card right now, although they're only a half game ahead of San Diego, but that six-game cushion does give them a six-game lead in the wild card over the Phillies, who are the first team out, I believe, is the way it reads at this point in time. So Atlanta's still in pretty good spot. In a pretty good spot for the wild card in the playoffs. They can get themselves right back in the National League East hunt by taking three or four or better from the Mets coming up starting tonight, as I mentioned. So a couple things. I mentioned the Padres. I want to talk about the Tatis news real quick. Fernando Tatis Jr. Tested positive for a banned substance and now has an 80-game suspension. Man, I tell you what. They go out and get Juan Soto. Already got Manny Machado around. Waiting on Tatis to come back from injury. And then he gets slapped with this 80 games for a banned substance. And then he tried to make some excuses about it and how, you know, he didn't know what he was taking. He did fess up and say, you know, it was for recovery. But he messed up. And you know, that's a huge blow for the Pods. Tatis was one of the guys that, that baseball MLB was kind of leaning on as being one of the cornerstones of the future. I'd throw Acuna and Soto in there as well. Ohtani, obviously, as well. So this happening to Tatis is a big deal. You know, it's been hard for guys to get past that stigma of the steroid substance abuse thing, performance-enhancing type substance. Let me make that clear. It was not a drug. It was a performance-enhancing type thing. So, but this is going to follow around Fernando for some time, unfortunately, and hopefully he can get himself back right. He's admitted the mistake now, so he's a likable guy, you know, so hopefully he'll get back well, get his act together, make better decisions and choices and get back in the playoffs, get back for his team. This does hurt the Padres' playoff chances, though. They foresaw a lineup in the postseason of Tatis, Soto, and Machado kind of being their middle-of-the-order situation there that would have been difficult to deal with, but they have now said Tatis is banned from the playoffs this year as well. So we won't be seeing that happening this year in the 2022 playoffs. Moving on to our cornerstone guy, Ronald Acuna. You know, it's very disappointing to see Ronald come out of the game Saturday with knee soreness and did not play the day. You know, Ronald was rounding the bases, looked very, very gimpy, scored on the play and kind of limped home. Of course, Ronald Acuna limping is probably faster than a lot of folks running fast, but running hard. But Ronald was certainly noticeably limping. And you know, I've talked about this before on the podcast a little bit. You just got to wonder if they haven't rushed Ronald a little bit here. I know Ronald wants to play, and he's getting to play, but we need Ronald Acuna at full strength. He was kind of starting to come around, hitting a little bit better. Had a leadoff homer, I believe it was last night, prior to getting hurt. So he was showing signs, but now this knee thing kind of concerns me going forth. We saw Robbie Grossman in left and right field today with Rosario in left and obviously Harrison center. So Acuna going down is probably one of the bigger news items I've got of the week. There's one more thing I'll mention that's pretty big, but certainly Acuna's injury. Snit said he wasn't going on the injured list, so we're not going to see him IL'd apparently at this point in time. But Ronald did not play. Hopefully he'll be able to go against the Mets. I'm sure he wants to be out there. But as I mentioned before, if Ronald really is banged up some and it is the knee not fully healed, we'd be hard-pressed to just say, let's shut the guy down and try to get him right for September, October. Because right now we need 100% Ronald Acuna. I don't think we really had that for really all year, honestly, at this point. But, you know, I don't want the guy's career to be minimized with his ability because of an injured knee that we rushed him back from because of the wrong reason. So hopefully Ronald will get going this week. I'm sorry, hopefully Ronald will get back in the lineup. But if it does mean shutting him down for a bit to get him well, I understand I'm in favor of that. I want to see Ronald every day. He's one of my favorite guys. But we need a healthy Ronald Acuna, as I've mentioned more than once in the past. So the other big news of the day, the item that I'm going to bring up and talk a lot about here is Vaughn Grissom. So Vaughn Grissom was called up against the Red Sox this week, earlier in the week, and man, what an impact he made. So let me first say that I've been talking about Vaughn Grissom. I'm not bragging, but maybe I guess I am, for a few months now about how good I thought he was going to be. I will say I had no idea we'd see Vaughn Grissom this year. It did seem like the Braves rushed him, as they kind of thought they did Michael Harris. But in both of those two cases, that has not been the case this year that we've seen. Grissom has been lighting it up, man. Two homers already, hitting over 400, stealing bases. He's played good enough defense at second base. He's been just fine there. Vaughn Grissom looks to be a legit major leaguer right now. And like I said, I thought he was a 2023 or later arrival for infield for the Braves. And, you know, with the injury to Orlando Arcia, who had to kind of be helped off the field with a hamstring injury, which didn't look good, the Braves got a little desperate, and they called up Vaughn Grissom, and man alive, is he really produced and not disappointed. So the guy, number one, has a great eye. He's not chasing a lot of pitches. He hits the ball really, really hard. I mean, he's a big kid, big, strong kid, but he can run as well. We know he's a shortstop by trade, but now the Braves' top two prospects, who we really all thought were maybe a next year to 2023 ETA on Michael Harris and Grissom, have come up and seem to be entrenched in this lineup. So kudos to the Braves' scouting system. I think Grissom was an 11th round draft pick. That's a win right there, guys. Great job. So we're not getting a lot of, and I mentioned this before, we're not getting a lot of hype on our farm system about it being one of the better ones, but we just keep bringing up blue chippers. And arguably right now, between Grissom, who's just been up, so it's early to say Rookie of the Year for him, obviously, but Michael Harris and Spencer Strider are got to be 1 and 1A for Rookie of the Year right now. Now Grissom looks like he is a lock to be a very good Major League player at minimum. You know, what a bunch of young kids and rookies this team has brought up this year to come in and play, and they have played so well, so... I'm excited about Grissom. He's fun to watch. You know, again, big, strong kid. Looks like he's got some pop. I think he's going to hit a lot of home runs in the majors. I really do. I think he's going to be a middle of the order, I'm still a middle infield, top of the order, kind of power, speed, average combo guy. Right-handed batter, but again, big and strong. This makes you think about what will we do when Ozzie Albies comes back. Now, granted, Ozzie is probably 3 or 4 weeks out from being able to come back and play. So, you know, getting Ozzie back for the playoffs is our hope, maybe even the last few weeks. But Grissom's a guy now that gives you an infielder who can probably play second, third, short in the majors. When Ozzie comes back, you got some options here. And, you know, I couldn't imagine Grissom going back to the minor leagues or not playing either. If he's up, he's got to play. If for some reason we don't play him, he's got to go back to AAA, I guess, at this point and get a few at-bats there, although he never went there before. Straight from AA, but man, how exciting to have this guy up there. Again, you could see maybe rotating Riley with Grissom and letting the other one DH. I'm not suggesting sit Riley or sit anybody, but, you know, the way Ozuna's played, which we'll talk about later, having somebody in the infield like a Dansby or a Grissom or an Ozzie or an Austin Riley or a Matt Olson DH here and there and let Grissom play the field some when he's not DHing is a great idea. And I also mentioned the catching situation with Darnold down. You know, we've got Contreras, who's DH'd a good bit this week, which I'm a huge fan of when he's not catching. Well, I say he's DH'd a good bit. He's actually caught all week because of Grissom being down. The one game he didn't catch, Chadwick Trump comes up and just looks like an MVP candidate, man. He had three hits and drove in runs and was just tremendous in his first start of the year for the Braves. So Trump is a guy that, you know, we thought was more of a depth guy. And maybe he is, but what a great story he had in his first game with the Braves to come in and be a huge culprit in the game to get a win for the Braves early on in the series against Miami. Austin Riley cooled off a bit in the Marlins series, had a big home run, some hits against Boston. So, you know, he was a hit away from the cycle. I believe he missed a double in game one against Boston, had a triple and a homer in his first two at-bats, got a single late. So he's still the man right now. But, you know, he didn't have a great Miami series on the road. But I'm not worried about Austin. He'll be just fine. He's still hitting 295 plus with 30 homers now, high 70s and mid 70s in RBI, 74, 75 or so. But, you know, great year for Austin. Can't expect him to be Superman every game, but he's been pretty darn close. Got to mention Michael Harris. My goodness, Michael Harris. You watch this kid play, he just gets better and better and better and better. Today, you know, big home run late to tie the game in the ninth inning. Braves get two more, win the game, going away 3-1. Harris has had big hits all week. He's been incredible. He's probably been the best player this week. Maybe you can compare Vaughn Grissom with him, but Michael Harris has been tremendous. And, you know, I can't say enough about his performance, his growth. We all know he's a great defensive outfielder. Best we've had since Andrew Jones, for sure. One of the best, if not the best, in the league already in center field for his defense. He's got 11 homers now, maybe in his 12th today. Stealing bases, he hadn't been caught stealing all year that I know of. The average is up there pretty high, too. So Harris is ridiculous. And I got to ask this question because it just makes me scratch my head. Why is he batting ninth, eighth and ninth still? I know we batted him ninth early on because it was the second leadoff man theory. I get it. He's a speedy guy. You're batting guys like Marcell Ozuna ahead of him right now, and you're batting other guys ahead of him. He's just got to move up in the order at this point in time, and you're batting Eddie Rosario and Robbie Grossman ahead of Michael Harris right now. Michael Harris should be leading off or batting in the top four or five, maybe sixth, but I like Michael in the 1-2 spot, honestly, especially with Ronald hurt. I know there's a lefty today, and I love Dansby up high too, but man, Michael Harris moving up would be a great idea with his stolen base acumen, with his average. You know, he's just tremendous. So, and also the old simple thing of you bat a guy ninth, he's going to lose 50, 60, 70 at-bats a year as opposed to a guy batting in the top three or four. So that guy's one of your best players right now. Get him out of the nine hole. Get him up near the top of the order. Let him get on base. Let him steal bases. Let him wreak havoc up there in that lineup. I think when Ronald comes back, I'd move Ronald down to the three or four spot for the time being. Let Harris and Dansby kind of run with that early spots up there and see what they can do. But, again, if you don't lead him off, you got to get him out of eight and nine because he's too good to drop down there. You know, Grissom hit second today against the lefty. I'm fine with that. Grissom is tremendous right now. So, you know, that's another good problem to have. But I see no reason these guys should bat behind the other outfielders at this point because they're really not named Acuna. They really hadn't been great this year. And I think getting Grissom and Harris, probably Harris first, ahead of those outfielders in the order is a really good idea. Maybe even the catcher, although – I do love Contreras in the 4, 5, 6 hole, so we'll see how that plays out. But, man, come on, it's Brian Snitt. Move Harris up. Get him out of the bottom of that order. It's due time for that to happen. So I want to talk about the fifth starter a second, Jaco DeRizzi. We traded for. He's pitched two times. He's been fine. You know, nothing spectacular, but he's been solid. Not going very deep. Only went 4 innings his last time out. He's set to pitch in the Mets series. So, you know, you wonder where that works, how that works, but if he's got to go more than 4 innings. Again, he's an innings eater guy. He keeps you in the game. Nothing flashy. Does his job. But my question kind of is this, and before I say this, I've got no problem with the trade that sent Will Smith for DeRizzi. Will Smith was kind of a forgotten man here with a role that was hard to put out there. You know, we've all kind of complained about Will's closing status or his late inning guy who got a ton of guys on base and had to wiggle out of there and made us nervous. So I'm fine with Odorizzi coming over. But my question is, we had starts today or this week, today from Bryce Elder, this week from Kyle Muller and Ian Anderson, who got demoted basically for Odorizzi. How is Odorizzi not the third or fourth best starter on that list right now when you look at Bryce Elder, Kyle Muller, Ian Anderson, Jake Odorizzi? And I'll even throw Waskar and Noah's name in there, who's been banished. He did come up and didn't pitch and went right back down, but a guy with electric stuff. You know, I don't know that we need another starter. Odorizzi could be the long guy, but I would rather have Ian Anderson this year and the playoffs. He's playoff tested. Kyle Muller, to me, might be the highest upside guy of any of those guys. I mean, he is a hard-throwing lefty, big, strong guy, pitched well the other day. Bryce Elder was tremendous today. Command for Elder was awesome today. He was hitting spots, moving that backup fastball in and out of there. The sinker was diving and darting. He looked great. Jake, I'm fine with you being on this roster, but I don't know that some of these guys I just mentioned, Elder, Muller, Anderson, are not better than Odorizzi. And honestly, right now, they might be out pitching Charlie Morton. Now, Charlie's, again, battle-tested, so I'm not suggesting we bench Charlie or set him down. But, you know, we got some starters here that we can use and bring in there. And, you know, putting those guys in the playoffs might be a different story when there's a lot more pressure, although Anderson's done that for 2 years now. When I say give Muller and Elder and Ian some more starts, and I say even get a Noah out there at some point in time to see what he can do, because he has sort of paid his dues now, I think, for being a little bit of a knucklehead last year by punching the bench and breaking his hand. Anyway, there is that. So I wanted to mention Kenley Jansen and then the Raisel Iglesias trade, which I was a fan of. Jansen is a Hall of Fame-level closer, there's no question, for the Dodgers. He's been really, really good for a long time. The cutter, he's thrown with the fastball and that slider mixed in. He's been very effective. He's been good for the Braves this year. But you kind of look at him struggling a little bit late in some games now, not putting folks away. And Iglesias, he comes in there with mid to high 90s, looks to be a confident, lockdown kind of guy. So, you know, I wonder at some point in time will you see Iglesias getting some save chances and kind of sharing the role with Jansen, depending on the situation. Because I think Iglesias might be the better pitcher at the current day. Again, I'm a Kenley Jansen fan. I like the guy a lot. I respect and his career has been great, no question. But Jansen might not be the better pitcher of Iglesias right now. And I do like having Iglesias in that bullpen late. Kirby Yates has struggled. He came back this week. Didn't look good. Had to be removed last night. After getting base runners out there and couldn't finish the game. He was given the chance to finish in a non-safe situation and couldn't do it. So Yates looks like he's not fully back yet, not confident yet. He was a great pitcher a couple years ago prior to his injury. But I think they need to work him into some non-leverage situations. I guess they tried to last night. But a little worried about Kirby right now, see where he can go. But he is a guy that I think the more he pitches, hopefully the better he gets. The better he does. So, got to mention Matt Olson, who's been on a homer parade this week. Didn't have one today, but he's hit homers a lot this week. I believe there was a three-game streak there. We had back-to-back-to-back games. He's up to 23 or 24 now quietly for this team. Average is still around 250, but he has still been very, very good of late. And he's a guy that you know, I don't know if he's Freddie Freeman, but he's pretty good, that's for sure. So, we will see where Olson finishes, but right now he's been very good. And then I hit on Marcell Ozuna. He has not been very good. He's been pretty bad all year. He did have some hits today. Did have a home run this week to kind of get you a little not quite as mad at him as we have been. But Marcell's a guy that I think we can't keep giving at bats to if he does not start being more consistent with the bat. You know, positive to keep in the lineup, our other outfielders that could DH, Rosario and Robbie Grossman, have not been very good either. Grossman's playing against lefties and had a couple hits, but hadn't been very fortunate. Got some bad luck. And then we all know Rosario came back from the eye injury, the eye surgery, and has been better, but still not great. So we'll see. I do like having Contreras in the game every day, whether he's DHing or catching. He's got to DH some if he's not catching. Darno's been hurt. He should be back hopefully pretty soon. Also of note, Ahiré Adrianza, who we traded for, which I think was a bad move because we gave up a guy in Trey Harris who could probably help this team or a team for a guy who's a journeyman that probably won't be here next year in Adrianza. He's now on the IL and hurt this week, so which is when Grissom came up and Arcia. Well, actually, I think Arcia was the reason Grissom came up, and then Adrianza went down too. So we have no really backup middle infielder right now. If Dansby or Adrianza or Riley goes down, I don't think we have a backup infielder. So we need to address that this week, go find somebody. I mentioned Anderson Simmons last week was cut by the Cubs. I can't imagine why we wouldn't look at that, but we have not apparently yet. So that's something I hope we address prior to the Mets series because an injury there could really cause us trouble. Grissom seemed to kind of jam his knee sliding today at the plate. So if that were to be the situation, we're really going to have a problem at second base, but hopefully he'll be back in there tomorrow night without a problem. I wanted to give you the pitching matchups real quickly for the Mets-Braves series tomorrow night at Truist Park. Carlos Carrasco goes in game one for the Mets against Spencer Strider, who struggled against the Mets last time in New York. So maybe Strider comes back and locks down on tomorrow. Tuesday night, Taijuan Walker versus Charlie Morton. Walker's been really good for the Mets this year. On Wednesday, Max Scherzer and his 1.93 ERA with an 8-2 record against Jake Odorizzi. So that's the matchup right there that kind of concerns me for the Braves. And then on Thursday at 6:20, all night games, Jacob DeGrom for the Mets. Yeah, we got Jacob, who's got a 1.62 so far this year in limited appearances, versus a pitcher to be determined for the Braves. Haven't announced that pitcher yet. So we'll see who the Braves go with on Thursday. But again, all games are 6:20 starts this week. That's the first four games. Then the Braves have three more at home versus the Astros, who was our World Series opponent last year. No pitchers have been announced for that series by either team as of yet. So, again, the Braves have seven big games at home, four of which are big swings in the standings with the Mets. So we'd love to get the Mets 3 out of 4 or better and close that gap from 5.5 all the way maybe to, they could get up, I guess, to, 2.5 if they beat them. No, maybe 1.5, four games, 1.5. So, a sweep would get them to 1.5 would be a wonderful thing to do. Then the Astros will be a big series, rematch of the World Series in Atlanta. So that's the show for the week. I appreciate you tuning in, listening to the show. Again, thanks for all the support. It was a great week for the Braves. This might be the biggest week of the year coming up, so be sure to support the Braves. Hop a car to Atlanta if you can. Go watch a game. Otherwise, tune in on Bally Sports and support the Braves this week. Let's go get them, boys. Go Braves.